How many Bibles came to church? May I see your hands? All right, that's wonderful. This will probably be one of the most important sermons that I've ever preached at Tabernacle Baptist Church. So I need your prayers. I certainly need your attention. Turn to Revelation, the second chapter. Revelation, the second chapter. How many of you have Bibles that have the words of Jesus in red? May I see your hand? All right, you'll recognize this is Jesus speaking. And he says, unto the angel, and later in this chapter, the Bible says explicitly, the seven angels or the seven messengers or pastors of the church. So he is writing to the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church of Tabernacle write. I'm substituting Tabernacle for Ephesus. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. And the Bible tells us specifically that the seven stars are the seven churches. Who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, and the candlesticks, of course, are the churches also. So bear in mind in the introductory reading that the candlestick is the church, and that Jesus is walking in the midst of it. I want you to look beside you. I want you to look in front of you and all around and know that in this church building this morning, Jesus, whether you recognize it or not, is walking in the midst of the church. I know thy works. And I remind each of you that Jesus knows your works. Every excuse you make, he knows about it. He knows your works. I know thy works and thy labor. And there are some people who labor incessantly to keep this church in business for the Lord. He knows the church's patience. And if there's anything a church needs, it's patience. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Or how they do not appreciate those or tolerate those who are worldlings, who follow Satan, who have no use for the Lord and his cause. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And I remind you here that this church has revoked the license from two men who claim to be preachers. We made no hesitancy whatsoever to revoke the license of two men who held membership in this church who claimed to be preachers. The church at Ephesus had tried those who said they were preachers or apostles. They had found them liars and had revoked their prerogative to preach. Notice what else the church had done. And hast borne, and hast had patience, or you have been very persistent, and hast not fainted, or become weak. On one occasion, the 18th chapter of Luke, the first verse, Jesus answered and said, now listen, men ought always to pray and not to what? Who remembers? And not to faint. And the Greek means to lose heart. And the easiest place in the world to lose heart is working in a church. Oftentimes, Sunday school teachers are unappreciated. They are seldom thanked. Oftentimes, those who hold positions like Brother Kirk as the head usher and other functions in the church, oftentimes they labor and are seldom complimented or thanked, and they grow faint-hearted. The Lord said to the church at Ephesus, thou hast not fainted, you have not lost heart. Nevertheless, in spite of all these good things, I have somewhat against thee. Now let me stop right here and ask you this question. I don't want you to answer me publicly, but I want you to, we're in the house of God. We're not in a lodge meeting. We're not in a PTA assembly. We're not in some worldly group. We are in the house of the living God. So this is my question. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. The question is, do you have anything against anybody who's sitting in this church house this morning? Let that soak in. Do you have anything against anybody that's sitting in this church house this morning? If the answer is affirmative, the Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And before the sun sets in the western sky, if there is one person in this building that has anything against anybody, I'm warning you in the name of the Lord, you better straighten it out or God will straighten you out. You better believe what I'm saying. I have somewhat against thee. Here's what he has against thee. Because thou hast left thy first love. We have an ordained preacher in our midst this morning that has been one of the greatest blessings to my life of any man as a fellow minister, and I do not hesitate to refer to the name of Brother Hansel Pierce. I mean it with every ounce of my being. Brother Pierce, you and I have heard Armenian preachers stand in the pulpit and affirm that when a church has left her first love, that that is the love of soul winning, and that interpretation is just as unscriptural as if I stood here and told you that grape juice was scriptural for the Lord's Supper when wine is the only scriptural thing for the Lord's Supper. What does he mean when he says, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love? Anita, you ought to love Larry more than any man in the world. He's your husband.
Graham, you ought to love C.L. more than any man in the world because he's your husband. Ruby, you ought to love Bill more than any man in the world because he's your husband. Bonnie, you ought to love Willie more than any man in the world because he is your husband. Cleta, you ought to love James more than any man in the world because he's your husband. Our first love is not soul winning, though we ought to be soul winners. Our first love is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to love him most because we, as the bride of Christ, are engaged to him and one day will be married to the Son of God. So the Lord says, Tabernacle, I have something against thee. Ephesus, I have something against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Now I want you to remember three R's. Number one, remember. Therefore, from whence thou art fallen. The first R is remember. The second R is, and repent. And the third R, though not mentioned, is certainly implied, and do thy first works. And that R is repeat. Do what you used to do. And here comes the strongest warning that can be afforded any Baptist church. If you don't do these things, this is Jesus speaking, I will come unto thee quickly, not slowly, and I will remove thy candlestick. I'll wipe out the church. You might meet in numbers larger than this, but I will no longer walk in the midst. There will no longer be felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, and when the preacher stands to preach the Word of God, instead of the presence and the power of God, it will be like sounding brass and tinkling something. I will come quickly. I will remove the candlestick out of the place, except thou repent. May God add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. Don't forget. He used the word repent twice. He didn't do it, Wayne, to fill up space in the Word of God. He did it because he meant it. The pastor's message to Tabernacle. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Point number one. You need to remember, first of all, from whence you are fallen concerning your love for your brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I love them, but you don't love them like you used to. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 17, the Bible says, and Jonathan caused David to swear again, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Romans 12:10 says, Be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Jesus said in John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for the other. In the little town of Jacksonville, Texas, time and again, I have had strangers walk up to me. I've had friends walk up to me. I've had business people walk up to me and say, I have never seen a group of people anywhere in my life that love each other like the people at Tabernacle love one another. And I'm telling you, because I feel it and because I know it, there needs to be a revival of love among ourselves, one for the other. Remember from what you've fallen in your love, one for the other. Now I'm fixing to get down where you live. Remember from whence you are fallen, from the standpoint of steadfastness in attendance at the house of God. Tabernacle Baptist Church is breaking my heart for one particular reason. Because you are becoming citified. And by that I mean you are becoming a Sunday morning church. You have fulfilled your duty. You've come to church on Sunday morning and on Sunday afternoon and Sunday evening. It is strictly S-E-L-F, self, and it's a sin in the eyes of the living God. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you will multiply the hours of the day 24 by 7, I think that you will come up with 168 hours that God gives you every week. Larry, he doesn't give you 1 second more than he gives me. James, he doesn't give you 1 second more than he gives John Colville. And 168 hours a week God gives us. And out of those 168 hours a week, we ask you to be in church 4 hours. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and Sunday night. Divide 4 into 168. 4 into 16 will go how many times, Roy? 4 times. 4 into 8 will go how many times, Alvin? 2. So God gives you 42 times more than he asked you to be in the house of God. And I don't want to sound unkind. I hope I sound merciful. But when you can't give the Lord 4 hours a week, I'm telling you plainly, you're putting yourself first and not God. Remember, from whence you've fallen in your love one for the other, remember from whence you've fallen in your attendance at the house of God. And number 3, and this is exceedingly important, I hope it'll ring in your heart like a bell that you'll never cease to hear. Remember from whence you have fallen in your giving to the cause of Christ. If the people in our church who tithe, and if you don't know what a tithe is, that's 10% of what God gives you, or $1 out of every 10, or 10 out of every 100. If the people in our church who tithe were to suddenly quit tithing, we'd have to close the doors before June the 1st. But if you who do not tithe, and you actually know more than God when you don't tithe, you do. You know more than God when you don't tithe. The third time, you that don't tithe know more than God. Now, you're really smart when you know more than God. Because God says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me. Now with, saith the Lord, if I will not pour you out a blessing that you will not be able to receive, and God is going to collect his tithe one way or the other. And those of you who do not tithe, if you would start tithing, we could build our educational building, provide something for our young people, and we could really put a shock in this town if people would remember from whence they have fallen. I could give you 100 scriptures on tithe. I knew of a man one time that didn't have a job. He went to his pastor. He said, Pastor, pray that I'll get a job. And the pastor prayed for him, and he said, Pastor, I promise you that if I get a job, I'll start tithing. The man got a job, $200 a week, and he started paying his tithe, $20 a week. The man was very, very efficient and proficient and continued to grow up the ladder. Pretty soon he was making $500 a week and giving $50 a week to the church. And ere long, that man was making $2,000 a week, $8,000 a month. He came to his pastor. He said, Pastor, $800 a month tithe is too much to give to any church. And the pastor said, you are right as you can be. You tithed when you made $200 a week. You tithed when you made $500 a week. You tithed when you made $1,000. And now you're making $2,000. And it's too much to give to the church. And the pastor said, that's right. So let's have a prayer meeting and let's ask God to cut your salary. East Texas has been blessed. Most of you folks have a good job. You ought to go to Houston or parts of Dallas or Detroit or some other areas and look at the soup line. Look at people that can't pay their bills, and then you have fallen from your responsibility in giving to the Lord. And I don't hesitate to preach on giving because the Bible teaches it. I don't ever ask John Colville what a member of this church gives. I never will. But I'm telling you this, if you have fallen from the truth of tithing, take a warning from your preacher, and you better take it seriously. Pretty soon, you're going to be paying out a lot more
than what you'd pay out if you honored God. Remember from whence you've fallen concerning your giving. Remember from whence you've fallen from your praying. I've seen this church when it needed something, when it didn't hesitate to come to the altar and get on its knees. We had a mud hole we couldn't sell. We thought. We wanted this piece of land. A little handful of people got on their knees and asked God to sell a mud hole we'd bought and to give us this land. We borrowed the money to buy this land, and before we could close the note, people were standing in line to buy a mud hole because we prayed. And some of you lost the art of prayer. Some of you have lost the art of prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is a sincere desire of a heart. In Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us." Whatever we need, we ought to have faith enough to believe that what God has done for us in the past, He'll do greater things in the future. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray in the name of Christ the Savior? Did you sue for love and favor as a shield today? Oh, how pray and rest the weary. Prayer will change the night today. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Now let me tell you something else. Wherever your church membership is, that's where your responsibility is. And when the doors are open, you ought to be faithful at the house of God. And in this age of gimmickry, there are a thousand ways that people can pull you away from your church to somewhere else because they have some kind of programized something that'll tickle your ears instead of touch your heart. We ought to be faithful to the church where our membership is. Remember from whence you've fallen in your love for your brothers and sisters, in your steadfastness in the house of God, in your giving. Remember from whence you have fallen. And then the Lord says, repent. How long has it been since you shed a tear over your sins? Really? How long has it been since you've repented because you said something ugly to somebody? How long has it been since you've repented because you mistreated some member of your family? How long has it been since you've repented because you haven't treated your Lord right? We need an old-fashioned, general repentance in every member of this church. We ought to repent, number one, for not spending more time in the Word. The best way in the world to grow cold and indifferent and uncaring is to neglect your Bible. The Bible is God's Word, and you're not going to learn all you need to learn by listening to a simple preacher like me on Sunday morning and Sunday night. You have to study for yourself. And if you'll open the Word of God and spend some time in God's Word every day, I'll guarantee you the study of God's Word will generate something in your heart that will make you feel great and wonderful because of the presence of God's Spirit. You need to repent for not studying your Bible. You need to repent for not praying enough. Jeremiah said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I'm not going to embarrass you, but how many of you, every time you sit down to the table, say the blessing? Did you know the Bible tells us that meats and foods are created to be received with thanksgiving? And I have a strong conviction that people who sincerely bow their heads and pray before they eat are healthier than people that just start gobbling it down like they didn't know where it came from. If we're too busy to stop and pray even when we eat, we need to repent in a lack of prayer. And I'll tell you another area where we need to repent. We need to repent in not being a more friendly church than we are. For 13 years I've stood in this pulpit and told you, when you see visitors, don't sit there like a stone wall, even if you don't know them or have never seen them. Make an effort to go to them, put a smile on your face, shake their hand, make them feel welcome, and let them know you're glad they're in the house of God. You say, "Well, Brother Brunson, they sit in the back." That's all right. It won't take you long to get to the back. Did you know that an angel might sit here some morning? Somebody ought to say amen. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And I don't care what you call me, and I don't care what you say about me, but I believe the Bible teaches that there are still angels that assume bodily forms in this day, just like they did in the day of Jacob. And who knows, there might be an angel here this morning. You need to repent of your unfriendliness, especially towards strangers. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Number three, repeat. And do thy first works. I'm going to hammer a little right here. The first work you need to do is to come to the house of God. Psalm 26, verse 8, "Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth." And if you want to know where the honor of God dwells, it's in the house of God. And David said, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. And if there's any place in Jacksonville, Texas, you want to love, it's the house of God. I can visualize in my mind people that have been rolled down these aisles in caskets, and you may be next. And then rolled out. And I'll tell you again, Holiday, I don't care if I die in Saudi Arabia, don't bury me or have my funeral in no funeral home, chapel, or somewhere else. Have mine in the house of God. I love God's house. And the first thing you need to repeat, and I'm talking about Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, is the house of God. And this is one morning you better listen to your preacher. I'm not playing with you. I'm not playing church. I'm not mad with you. I love you. I'm telling you some things you need to know. And not only do you need to know them, you need to listen to them. And if you don't listen to them, you'll wish one day you had. Repeat. Willie, do you remember when we'd meet with those old brooms and vacuum cleaners and Windex and all that kind of junk, go down there where Safeway is now and clean up that stinking old building where we could meet and worship? 55 and 60 people would show up for prayer meeting, and we've got 250 in our membership now, and we strain every nerve to have 25 here on Sunday night, and it's breaking my heart. Repeat by attending the house of God. And then you need to repeat in solicitation of others who need to hear what's preached and taught at Tabernacle Baptist Church. I don't hesitate to tell you that we stand for the total depravity of man, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and the final perseverance of the church. And that is what has made us stand out not only in the eyes of people in this town, but throughout the world, because people know we won't compromise with the doctrines of this modern generation in which we live. We need to repeat and our love for the doctrines of the Word of God. How many of you remember Virgil Mays? Virgil Mays organized over half the missionary Baptist churches in Houston, Texas. And they hated him like preachers hate me because I preach doctrine, and I don't care. I count it a compliment to be hated by some of these petticoat, pussyfooting preachers that don't have guts to stand on the Word of God. I was honored and blessed to preach his funeral. It was a large building. Every seat was filled. Maxine, they were standing in the vestibule. Literally hundreds were there that had been saved under its preaching. Not one single solitary Baptist preacher from the Harris County Association, not one pastor was present. And over 50% of them were pastoring churches that he organized while he worked 12 hours a day at Diamond Alkali and then sacrificed on Sunday for the truth of God could be preached. Repeat your attendance on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and repeat your love for the doctrines of the Word of God. And then you need to repeat something else. You need to repeat your love for people who are lost, and especially those in your family. In your family. You wouldn't let your little children go off to school hungry. If you would, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You wouldn't let them go half-dressed and dirty. If you would, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.